America has enjoyed peace and prosperity like no other nation. 9-1-1 showed us how vulnerable we are. America turned to God in prayer. Churches were filled on weekdays. The NFL canceled games. Republican and Democrat congressmen prayed together. How quickly we forgot God, though. This year, let us humble ourselves and pray, seek His face, and turn from our wicked ways, so that He might hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
As 9-1-1 comes up very shortly, I want to take you back to that day. If you were alive and old enough to remember, I'm sure you recall what actually happened and how you felt and how really the nation came together and how churches were filled with people, not just on Sunday, but even throughout the week. There were people that were coming to pray for America. Republicans and Democrat congressmen even gathered on the steps of the Capitol building and saying, God bless America. And the nation for a short period of time really had unity and a sense that we need to turn back to God. If you're an NFL football fan, you probably remember that football was canceled that week. You probably remember seeing Lee Greenwood singing at the New York Yankees baseball games and many other games and many other events singing his famous song, God Bless the USA, where he doesn't thank God, but he thanks his lucky stars. I've always found that humorous because really we need to thank God, not our lucky stars. We need to thank God for America. And we need to pray for America. And as we pray for America, we need to repent and turn back to God. Sadly, the turning back to God part of that and the prayer part of that, and I'm not even sure really that everyone was focused on turning back to God. People were certainly focused on prayer, but not enough people were focused on turning back to God. And really that's what needs to happen in this nation. There's a huge movement that the MAGA movement, Make America Great Again. And this is, of course, led and triumphed by President Donald Trump. And even when he wasn't president, he still was the leader of this MAGA movement. But if we truly want America to be great, we have to turn America to God. America we need to repent of our sins. We need to turn back to God. And we're actually going to go over some of those sins that we need to repent of. And also, we're going to actually look at Scripture and see that we're going to see from Scripture that really we need to turn back to God. God doesn't bless America because we sing God Bless America. God doesn't bless America because we pray that God would bless America. And He doesn't do this with any nation. He blesses nations that obey His commandments, and He curses nations that disobey His commandments. You can look at when Israel was about to enter the Promised Land, they were told to have part of their people on one mountain and part on another mountain, and they were to actually proclaim the curses if they disobeyed God, and then the blessings if they obeyed God, and then again the curses if they disobeyed God. And it's kind of like the right hand or the left hand. There's a way that God wants us to go. Oftentimes it's called the straight and narrow way. And yet, if we turn to the right or we turn to the left, we have deviated. And Israel was promised that God would bless them if they obeyed Him, and that God would curse them if they disobeyed him. And we have talked many times about the blessings of God and the cursings of God that happen not only on individuals, but also on nations. And we'll talk more about that today, because I know that there are people out there right now listening that are saying, hey, listen, you know, God doesn't curse anymore. God doesn't bless anymore. But really, the Bible is clear. When you read about the Bible, God doesn't change. And there are people that say, well, that was only for Israel. But God actually is very clear. And we'll see this from Scripture. God is very clear that he would judge the nation of Israel, certainly to a higher standard than he had judged the other nations. But he was actually giving them Canaan land because the nations that had lived in that region had been wicked and had violated his commandments, had violated his precepts. So we're going to actually look at that passage. We're going to look actually at Leviticus chapters 18, and you can also read a very similar passage in Leviticus 20. And what he lays out in the first part of Leviticus 18 is various sins. And those sins, very often, they're incestuous sins. They deal with not only incest, but they also deal with adultery. And they deal with homosexuality and bestiality. And they deal with child sacrifice. And really, we are committing those sins in America right now. Adultery is rampant in our country. And of course, fornication is not listed as one of those sins, but fornication is rampant. And because adultery and fornication are rampant, abortion, which is child sacrifice, is also rampant in our culture. And there are certainly some who partake in homosexuality, certainly a smaller portion, but that's still a sin. It's a sin that has national consequences. And then you also have, in addition to homosexuality, you do have some people in America, certainly a smaller portion, but you do have some people in America who are engaging in intimate physical activity with animals. And if you don't believe me, just trust me. We've even had some famous people in America that have been involved in this. And it's something that we need to turn back to God. In Leviticus chapter 18, verses 24 through 30, we read, "Do not defile yourself with any of these things, for by these the nations are defiled, which I am casting out before you. For the land is defiled. Therefore I visit the punishment of its iniquity upon it, and the land vomits out its inhabitants. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, either any of your own nation or any stranger who dwells among you. For all these abominations the men of the land have done who were before you, and thus the land is defiled, lest the land vomit you out also when you defile it, as it vomited out the nations who were before you. For whoever commits any of these abominations, the people who commit them shall be cut off from among the people. The persons who commit them shall be cut off from among the people. Therefore, you shall keep my ordinance, so that you do not commit any of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that you do not defile yourself by them. I am the Lord your God." So in this passage, we see God's judgment upon the nations of Canaan. And why did God judge the people in the nations of Canaan? For the sins that are laid out in Leviticus 18. And again, you'll also see the same thing repeated, very similar passage repeated in Leviticus chapter 20. So you see there that God has a standard, and he judges nations, not just individuals, but he judges nations based on the standard of his word. And certainly there are some that would say, well, you know, that's the Old Testament. God's not the same anymore. God is love. God, you know, there's no more judgment. Well, have you ever read the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ? Read it one day. I'm sure you've heard a lot of people talking about it. It portrays God's judgment in the end times. So to say that God doesn't judge anymore in the New Testament era, and that he wouldn't judge a nation in the New Testament era, is just a falsehood. Jesus was very clear that he didn't come to abolish the law, he came to fulfill it. The Bible is clear. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Certainly, personally, we are under grace in the New Testament, and God restrains his wrath that he would justly and rightly pour out upon each and every one of us for our sin. He restrains that wrath. He holds himself back. Romans 8 tells us this. He even restrains creation from lashing out and destroying individuals. And he does this because of his patience and because of his long suffering. And he does this because he wants to save you. He wants to save me. This is why we didn't die before we had a chance to come to Christ. And if you haven't come to Christ yet, it's why you are still alive, because God is being patient, and he's even patient with nations as well. But there comes a point where their sin reaches a certain point, and with the nations of Canaan at that time, the Bible says that the land is vomiting them forth. So when you start seeing creation rising up against a nation, that's a bad sign. Certainly we see changes happening, and we see natural disasters, and some people say, well, you know, this is because of global warming, or it's because of something else. But really the Bible says that when a nation departs from God's commandments, that even creation rises up against that nation. And here again, God warns them not to defile themselves by any of these. For by all these the nations are defiled, which I am casting out before you. For the land is defiled. There are certain sins that actually defile the land, and for the land to be released from that defilement, God has to bring his judgment, or the people can repent. And there are certain sins that even require, especially murder, capital offenses that require actually execution of the person who committed that murder. But you see here, the land is defiled, therefore I visit the punishment of its iniquity upon it, and the land vomits out its inhabitants. So this is a very graphic terminology here. I'm sure most of you have probably been sick at one time and have actually thrown up. And what happens when you eat something that's bad, something disagrees with you, then you have this reflex that happens where your body gets rid of it and you vomit that up. Well, this is the same phrase that is used here of you're getting that poison out of you. And once you get the poison, the bad food out of you, even though it's an unpleasant experience to vomit it up, you're in a much better shape. And he's using that same phrase here and that same terminology with the land vomiting out its inhabitants. And then he says, you shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments and shall not commit any of these abominations, either any of your own nation or any stranger who dwells among you. So this is something that the people that were there, the Israelites, needed to do this, but they also needed to make sure that any foreigners who were there, anyone who was an immigrant needed to keep the commandments of God as well. And certainly it's important that we as a nation keep these commandments, that we don't violate the commandments of God, and that anyone that we allow into our country as an immigrant would also keep these commandments and hold to these principles. For all these abominations the men of the land have done who were before you, and thus the land is defiled. So the sins that are laid out in Leviticus 18 and Leviticus 20 were sins that the people had committed in that area. And because of those sins, the land actually vomited them forth. And the land was vomited. And God here warns them, lest the land vomit you out also when you defiled it, as it vomited out the nations who were before you. So we see here that God would judge the people of Israel, even the people that he had made a covenant with. He would judge them just like he had judged the other nations who were before them. And if they committed these sins, you can read in the books of Kings, the books of Chronicles, the books of the prophets, you can read about God's judgment upon those people, upon Israel, and even they're going into captivity because they had violated God's commandments and they had committed many of those same sins. Lest the land vomit you out when you defile it, as it vomited out the nations who were before you. For whoever commits any of these abominations, the person who commits them shall be cut off from among the people. Therefore you shall keep my ordinances, so that you do not commit any of these abominations, abominable customs which were committed before you, and that you do not defile yourself by them. I am the Lord your God. And again, we have this warning. God is the Lord. He judges nations for obeying him. He judges nations for disobeying him. The nation doesn't necessarily need to be a Christian nation to be blessed, and it doesn't need to be a pagan nation to be cursed. Blessings and cursings are based on activity, and certainly being a Christian nation where God actually changes the hearts of the people in that nation is really the best way to ensure that that nation would actually live according to God's commandments, according to his precepts. But there's no restriction here. Everyone needs to actually commit to keep the commandments of God. And when we look at the sins in America, we've gone over these many times. When we look at these sins, I'm going to lay out the sins that we have committed in this nation, really the progression that has led us to where we are today. We replaced and allowed creation science, the idea that God created the heavens and the earth, to be replaced with the idea of evolution, that everything that we see, the intricacies of the universe, the intricacies of our body, happened by chance through random mutation. In fact, there was nothing, and somehow there was an explosion, and all the matter came into existence, and somehow life actually came, and you had a very simple single cell organism. I remember sitting in class in public school where the teacher, who wasn't a Christian and didn't believe that God created the heavens and the earth, he believed in evolution, he actually said, we can create a single cell organism, but we can't make it live. So the idea that everything happened by chance and you actually had a whole bunch of random mutations that led to the complex universe that we actually have, and that actually caused things to become better and rather than decaying. That is really, you have to believe that. And really, I believe it takes more. I even have a shirt that says this. It takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in God. But when you take God out of the picture, when God is not being taught as the creator of the heavens and the earth, then we are not subject to his commandments. Every man can do what is right in his own eyes. And then this big attack happened on Christianity and on the Bible and on prayer and on the Ten Commandments. In 1962, in Ingo versus Vitale, the Supreme Court ordered prayer to be removed from public schools. Now, public schools in America were founded by the Puritans long before the Constitution. And they were founded for the purpose of teaching kids to read so that they would be able to read the Bible. And the Bible and the New England Primer, which taught biblical principles, were the primary reading book at that time. And even at the times of the founding fathers, at the time that the Constitution was ratified, at the time that the Bill of Rights was ratified, the Bible was in use in public schools. Prayer was in use in public schools. The Ten Commandments were taught in public schools. Kids were taught to respect God and to respect leaders and to respect authority and to respect one another. In 1963, in Abington versus Shipp, the Supreme Court ruled that the Bible should be taken out of public schools. And another thing you had happen in the 1960s is you had the sexual revolution, this idea that we can do whatever we want to do with whoever we want to do it, and that there are no consequences. But there are consequences, and some of those consequences are little girls and boys that are conceived where people are actually thinking about themselves, not thinking about joining together in holy matrimony and raising a family, but are thinking just about their own lust and their own pleasure and aren't really thinking and planning for children to be involved. And so one of the things you started to see happen is a push for killing innocent children through abortion. In 1967, several states, including California, North Carolina, some other states actually legalized abortion. You started seeing some other states that legalized abortion. And then in 1973, in Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolton, the Supreme Court ruled that actually a preborn child, they didn't know whether it's a person or not, and that in some cases leading up to this, they ruled that there was a right of privacy, and then they found that that right of privacy gave a couple that was married the right to have contraception, and then an unmarried couple was allowed to have contraception. And then you also had those rights that were created, not in the Constitution, but they were created by the justices. They then used that to determine that abortion should happen as well. And so we have actually witnessed the death of over 57 million children in our land because of this. And the Bible tells us that their blood pollutes the land, and that the land that blood is crying out for vengeance. And then also in 1980, in Stone versus Graham, the Supreme Court, which has the Ten Commandments on its doors and above where they sit, actually removed the Ten Commandments from public schools because kids might look upon it and venerate it and follow the Ten Commandments. Wouldn't that be terrible? I'm being facetious here, obviously, if children didn't kill each other, if children didn't lie, if they didn't steal, if they didn't covet what someone else has, if they didn't respect authority. Wouldn't that be terrible? Obviously, that would be awesome if we could get kids to stop killing each other. And then in 2003, Lawrence versus Texas, the Supreme Court expanded this right of privacy to include homosexuality. Also, as you had the Massachusetts Supreme Court ruling that homosexual marriage should happen, you had actually them ordering the legislature to come and pass a legislation authorizing homosexuals to marry. They did so. They met, but they couldn't. It was a political hot potato. They couldn't come to an agreement. So then you had Governor Romney, who we were later told when he ran for president that he was the savior of this nation and we should vote for him. He actually ruled by executive order that homosexual marriage should be allowed. The U.S. Supreme Court also ruled and struck down state constitutional amendments that even many liberal states ruled. The people voted to say that marriage should be between one man and one woman. And now we have a huge onslaught of really nonsense where we have men and boys that want to become girls and girls that want to become boys and all this transgender stuff that's happening in our nation. We need to turn back to God. We need to repent of our sins. We need to humble ourselves and pray and seek His face. We need to turn from these wicked ways and realize that these sins are sins that will drive us, that will drive God to judge us and remove His protective hand so that the land itself would vomit out its inhabitants. We need on this day and really on every day to humble ourselves, to examine our own lives, to turn from our wicked ways and to serve God, and also to humble ourselves and pray on behalf of our nation and turn back to God so that He can hear from heaven, can forgive our sins and heal our land. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
America has enjoyed peace and prosperity like no other nation. 9-1-1 showed us how vulnerable we are. America turned to God in prayer. Churches were filled on weekdays. The NFL canceled games. Republican and Democrat congressmen prayed together. How quickly we forgot God, though. This year, let us humble ourselves and pray, seek His face, and turn from our wicked ways so that He might hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land.
Hello, I'm Charles Stanley. God is amazing in so many ways. One that still leaves me in awe is the fact He's always available to us. When you listen to In Touch, I pray you're encouraged to spend quality time alone with God. We'll study His Word for ways to help you enjoy a more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. We're always in touch when we walk close to God and understand His will for our lives.
In Touch, heard daily at 8:05 a.m. and p.m. right here on WCNO.
Please listen to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael every Saturday at 3 p.m. for encouragement from the Holy Bible for life's journey. Thank you.
Join us every Saturday at 7 p.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM for a special program, Thy Word is a Lamp, where you will hear the dynamic teaching of Sheila Suarez, the fresh manna. Thy Word is a Lamp, the fresh Word of God, children of God.
Thy Word is a Lamp, yeah.
This is Reverend Dave Boston, and I invite you to join us every Friday afternoon at 4 p.m. for Follow His Sandals.
This show is about practical keys to help all of us walk more closely with our Lord Jesus Christ to become better disciples.